Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's therapy time here on this Friday on the DDC. Tell us who or what has made you mad. Got to participate. Best one's going to get a pair of tickets to see the Counting Crows at First Bank Amphitheater on August the 12th. But you must call in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and tell us why you're mad. Feel a little bit better going to the weekend. Release. Get it off your chest. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line. Counting Crows, August the 12th, First Bank Amphitheater. Who would like to start?
Oh, I'm ready. Okay. I have been ready since this
happened. Deliver the goods.
2 days ago. Okay, so as you guys, we've established on the show, every now and then I like to make the Starbucks run in the morning on the way in, or even working from home, run down to the Starbucks. And so it's a very popular place these days. And I elected to do the drive-through. And the way this Starbucks is set up is, like most of them, the drive-through wraps around the building. You come out through the parking lot, and you turn out. It's a very simple process. However, the one unique thing about this West Nashville Starbucks is the line kind of gets backed up to the entrance into the parking lot, which is next to an Outback Steakhouse, and there's Chipotle. It's all kind of in there together. And so it does get a little congested where to get out of the parking lot, you kind of have to do the, maybe it's not the honor system, but you have to have some eye communication of, hey, let me out, and then you can come in. There's just a lot of teamwork that goes there. So I get my stuff. I am trying to turn right out of the parking lot, and we got a big line, and we've drifted over to kind of block the exit of the parking lot a little bit. So not happy about that, but I see my opening, and so I start to turn. Well, then we have this guy that apparently he is just the most important person in the world. Nobody else matters except for this guy. And he is like, no, sir, you are not going to exit this parking lot. I am coming in first. And so he starts turning in.
He's coming in. So he's just coming into the long line that he's going to be in a long line anyway, right?
No, he's coming in to park in the – see, I'm trying to explain it the best I can. He's coming in to park in the parking lot to go in the store. But,
okay.
But you still have to – because the drive-through line is so long,
you got to maneuver
blocking,
through the
– yeah. Yeah. And
that's
so,
a problem. East Nashville has a new Starbucks, and it's already a problem. There's always a long line at the drive-through.
So you have
creates
to,
a lot of issues.
You have to, like, because the line has gotten so long, there aren't two lanes in which one to enter and one to exit. You kind of have to take turns. Well, I had waited. It was my time. He just comes in. He's just like, forget you. I'm coming in. And he's like eye contact the whole time with this bleep-eating grin on his face. Like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? Huh? But here's the thing.
Thanks a lot,
I have started going. He's not stopping. So I'm like, you're going to hit me. And like, this is, you are going to hit me. So I'm backing up. I'm having to back up so this guy didn't hit me. And he just keeps coming. He doesn't pump the brakes. He doesn't stop at all. Looking at me the whole time. And finally, I get clear of him. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't do this a whole lot. I told him he was number one. I did. Because it was not cool. Because he could have just run into me. And I'm like, and he's got his window. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I got to get out. Like, I was going out. What are you doing? And he's just looking at me the whole time, smiling. Like, and so I did. Give him the old.
The one gun salute.
The one gun salute. Almost went with the double gun salute, but just went with the one gun salute. And told him he was number one.
Hmm.
So that guy, for
you just
thinking
made the
he's
list.
The most important guy in the world, is on the list.
Man.
Maybe he had to pee.
No, I just think he was a jerk.
That too.
You just made the list.
All right, I've got I've got two, one sports, one non-sports. My non-sports is coming back from Atlanta. This has happened to me a few times, as I've been saying, if you listen regularly to the show. I've been with my son for three different travel tournaments in Atlanta during the course of the summer. Every time going through Chattanooga, issues with the traffic. Chattanooga has got some traffic problems.
I don't believe that.
Just trying to get through the city.
Yeah, it is a pain.
No.
Just in the last couple years.
That is some breaking news. What? Traffic construction in Chattanooga area.
But
I
you
don't
know what?
It.
It's not even – they don't seem to ever be making any progress.
I know. That
no,
is
it's
the
always
point.
Under
like
construction.
How, it's never ending. It never stops. By the way
– it's not ever any wider.
Do you ever use Waze when you go through that area?
Every time.
Okay,
every time.
So does it take you
– sometimes it's gotten me off the highway and then winding around or out of the way to get back on.
Down
still
by the water. Right?
Yeah, and it still doesn't really save me any time.
Oh, it does. It does. You'd be surprised. It does.
I didn't feel like it did. I did it, but this last time I just went ahead. I the Waze told me to just keep on going right through the middle of it, and it was red. So Chattanooga traffic
is
on the list.
You like, just made the list!
You know what it feels like, Willie? It feels like Sam Ridley. I mean, Sam Ridley, sorry. It feels like...
I was like, where are you going with this?
Briley Parkway when we used to work out there.
Always under construction.
The construction that never – and we're like, is this ever going to be completed? Is Briley ever going to be completed?
Like even if it's not completed, just show me that somewhere it's a little wider and I see the plan of getting the cars through there quicker. But when you get from – you're trying to go from 75 to 24 and just get on the other side so you can go past the river and then on – to Suwannee and on to Nashville, it's just that stretch through the main part of downtown.
It's a disaster.
It always gets
or even going through
clogged.
To go to Atlanta. I mean, it's just it's clogged both ways.
Yeah, both ways. But both ways. But I've had trouble in particular coming back.
When I went through there a few weeks ago, going down to Atlanta to the race, I used Google is what I used, but it had me get off and basically go through town and get off the interstate.
I've done that
and wind
too.
Around.
It always takes like usually that's coming back. Going down there, it always has me get off and I go down basically a roadway down by the water. Time. All the way to the left is the water and you just keep taking that and then eventually it plops you out. But no, it does say it. You don't think it saves time, Willie, but it does. Because if you stay on there.
Well, if the Waze tells me to do that, I do it.
Yeah, you do it.
It just didn't tell me to do it this last time, and it was brutal.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my non-sports. My sports one is I only just knowing the parties involved, I'm going to conclude with the answer to every question. Why is so-and-so, why are all these problems going on in baseball? Jason Stark's answer when we used to have him on weekly would always be the same. Who's the agent?
Yeah.
Who's the agent?
Oh, so, I know where this is going.
Scott Boras. So, Darren, as you know, I know some people with the Mets. Of course, we follow closely Vanderbilt baseball in this city. We just mentioned last hour, Austin Martin, one of the prime superstars on the 2019 National Championship team, just got traded today from the Blue Jays to the Twins for Jose Berríos. The story that broke last week, it was earlier this week, right? You guys talked about it a little bit.
Yep, Kumar Rocker.
New York Post, Kumar Rocker. It looks like the Mets and Kumar Rocker's agent, Scott Boras, are really having trouble. So I checked into it a little bit. It is absolutely.
Today's the deadline, right?
No, Sunday.
Sunday.
It looks like a virtual certainty. He is not going to sign with the Mets. This is heartbreaking for me.
But how is this Scott Boras' problem? It's the Mets who came in and have said, we're not paying you the $6 million.
Right, but you know why it is? Scott Boras didn't provide the medicals that if he did, they could have worked around this. Scott Boras does so many things that complicate things. And ultimately, I don't know. I mean, but what is happening is when they did get the medical, so they agreed, I think, as I understand it, on the, I don't know, I can't remember exactly all the stuff that the story said, but they didn't like the medicals when they finally did get them. But if they had had the medicals earlier, it would have made it a lot smoother.
Well, smoother. I mean, who says they would offer $6 million if they had the medicals?
Well,
that's probably what the Mets are saying. Like, we wouldn't have offered you $6 million.
Yeah, I'm
knowing
just,
what we know now.
I don't know who to blame. Honestly, I just knowing Scott Boras, I'm just going to throw it at him. But it saddens me because I absolutely love watching Kumar Rocker pitch. I love the Mets.
Well, you'll get to see him next year at Vanderbilt pitching. So,
well, that's a possibility. And Chase brought this up. The NIL could come into play big time here because the other option would be to go overseas somewhere, play in Japan or Korea, and you can make
here.
A lot of money.
He can make a lot of money here.
I think he could make a lot of money here. But I'm here to tell you, like, we don't know what the real time will tell, I guess, how serious the arm problems are. But it always seems like it's Scott Boras's guy that this happens to. This happened a few years ago. But what will happen if the Mets toss him back into the pool? They'll get an extra first-round pick next year, 11th overall. And Kumar Rocker will be free to play another year of college baseball or turn pro in a different league. But it just... I'm sad, so I'm putting Scott Boras on the list because he's the guy I don't like in there.
You just made the list!
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Counting Crows tickets on the line for August 12th. Best, you just made the list, but you've got to call in and participate. Let's start things off with Steven. Steven, who or what has made you mad?
What's up, gentlemen? It has been a fun week, but I have to put the Ryan Porsche on the list.
You just made the list.
So he did ruin the best bit in all of this show. I thought it was, I mean, every time Vingan got on, you got on to see if this topic came up in conversation.
Yep. It's all been ruined.
So
our program director sabotaged great programming is what you're saying.
Thank you, Steven. You're right.
Exactly. So on this Friday, I will put Ryan Porsche on the list.
You just made the list.
I talked to him earlier, and he expected this today.
He was preparing himself mentally.
Yeah, he knew this was coming. I do get the sense that he feels bad. That was not his intention to ruin the bit, but he does have some remorse. But, you know.
What is that based off of?
I just, you know, conversations I've had with him. I don't buy it. I mean, I'm mad at him too. But, you know, I've made my comments, but. You know, it just is what it is. He has stepped in it. Now he has to pay the price.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Back to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mike is up in Gallatin.
What's going on, guys? So to somewhat continue your Madden discussion that you guys had a little bit ago, I got kind of upset about another set of the rankings. I don't know if you guys have gone through this or not. But Derrick Henry was ranked the number two NFL Madden running back in the game for next year. Second place to Christian McCaffrey. I will give that a small pass, only because I understand that McCaffrey can do more video game-wise in terms of catching the ball than it offers in that circumstance. That's fine. But what gets me even more upset than that necessarily is they gave – two other players a higher, like, I'm diving into serious dork here, so let me run with it for 2 seconds. Break tackle is a thing that I think of Derrick Henry. Stiff arm and breaking tackle, outside of just, like, that closing speed that he has, are the two things that I think, when I think of that in the league, there's not a single running back in the other league that I can think of. They gave Derrick Henry a 95 and then gave two other running backs a higher break tackle than Derrick Henry. So, again, it's a video game. You shouldn't be getting too upset about this. But when you win the NFL's, you know, the offensive player of the year, you rush for 2,000 yards, you throw people off your, you know, off your back and your shoulders like nothing else, like he's a modern-day superhero. What does a guy have to do to get a 99?
It's fair. It's a fair question.
I'm just saying, Christian McCaffrey played all of, what, like 10 snaps? He was on my fantasy team. I know how many snaps he played. Why does he get to be a higher scorer than Derek? That's all I got to say. They tend to update things pretty quick, so maybe they'll give him what he deserves later on. But, you know, I don't know. It was frustrating. I'm a dork.
Yeah, no, I look, who's going to argue in these parts? No one.
Yeah, right.
Thank you, Mike, as always. Yep. I mean, Chase, explain your video game. What's up with that? Like, try to explain that. How is he not a 99?
I agree. I mean, I don't know. I guess because of what he just said that, you know, the video game numbers.
He said what the only reason could be.
Yeah, McCaffrey is the fantasy video game type running back that can do both, catch out of the backfield. And that if you ever try to find a knock on Derrick Henry, it has been that he's not the best pass catcher out of the backfield.
No, he's but that's not average at best.
Yeah.
And so is there such a thing of being 100 as a runner and, you know, 60 as a pass catcher? That's to explain it.
What about durability?
That's a big one. That should be part of it.
Now they do 99 is the highest rating that they have. It's not 100. But yeah, he should totally be the highest there.
Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, you're up next. Who or what is on your list?
Oh, hey, guys. What's up? Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, cool. I was on my car, but I turned that off because it's, like, the worst speaker in the world. On the list today, I'm actually doing this on behalf of my fiance, is a certain dealership in Rivergate is on the list today.
You okay. Just made the list!
So my fiance had an appointment this morning at 8:30 for an oil change. Prius, it's not anything super complicated, but he messages me at 10:30 and says, yep, still in the waiting room, and they haven't even touched my car yet. And it's just like, why schedule appointments if your appointments aren't on time, like ever? They even told him when he checked in it could be up to 2 hours, maybe longer. So, like, I just don't understand why you're making appointments and you cannot stick to a schedule, because people have other things to do than just sit and wait for their car for 3 hours for an oil change.
What? So let me ask this question. Is it loyalty? Like, what? Why do you feel the need to go to the dealership to get an oil changed?
Well,
do you have a discount, a coupon?
Yeah, he thought he still had this, like, care package that they do when you buy a car there. It's a relatively new car. It's only a couple years old.
Right.
Apparently, that care package is only good for a year, which I guess he didn't realize, so he thought maybe it would be free, which it's not. He has to pay for it. But we'll not be returning to the dealership for an oil change anymore. I'm just gonna bite the bullet and go to Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I just think that we're all kind of past the days of dropping off the car for half the day to get the oil changed, right?
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous. But like, why even make appointments if you can't?
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
It's like a 30 minutes tops to do an oil change on a car.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you said this is at the dealership, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so don't we also think the other part of it ends up being, you know, after we changed the oil, we found like A, B, C, D, E, F, G of things that you probably need updated.
Yeah, but Jonathan's not saying that. He's just saying there's an 8:30 appointment, and at 10:30, the car's not even in the bay yet.
The first mistake is just going to the dealership. I have never had good success going to I always end up with 12 extra things I didn't know I was getting, and all your car is falling apart. You've got to get these things fixed, and
Willie, you're
never
taking
had success there.
You're going a little bit darker.
No, my skin started crying as soon as he said dealership.
What kind of car
I was like, oh,
are
gosh.
You buying?
Oh man,
the Batmobile.
No, and I'm talking about 20 years, different cars. It's like I find my local guy, and I'm like, I'm going to my local guy. I just the last resort.
So you have a car guy.
Oh, you got to have a car guy, don't you?
Yeah. You do. It helps.
It helps a lot.
I mean,
build a relationship.
Jiffy Lube is perfect. Like, they're relatively inexpensive. They're fast. You know, they make
those places. That's why those places were invented.
Yeah, I need that.
Honestly, for oil changes like Valvoline and Jiffy Lube, I mean, it's just, we're just impatient. Like, who wants to wait 3 hours to get an oil change? Like, just drive your car in the bay, sit in there, take care of some things on your phone while they're working, get the oil change in 20, 30 minutes, you're out the door, and see you later.
I'm done.
Get on down the road.
You could do it yourself.
Sure.
We're trying to stimulate the economy, you know? We've got to spend money elsewhere.
Yeah, that's
if you do it yourself, you're not stimulating the economy. That's selfish.
That's true.
Exactly. That's true. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, y'all too. Thanks so much.
Darren, I would like
change
to thank
your oil. Your own oil. Come on. Chase.
I know. I'm kidding. I would like to thank the Guardians of Cleveland for supplying my Braves with Eddie Rosario and cash. Mm-hmm. And I hope you enjoy the panda for the rest of the year.
You got the panda, Darren.
Oh, gosh. Jeez.
They actually are finding use for the panda.
Oh, boy.
Maybe they'll trade him again in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
So what's the deal on Francona? What's the deal?
Well, didn't we discussed this last year. I remember, and this we got to make this quick because I know we have Elliot coming up, but the winter meetings, I can't remember how long ago it was. They came through here. I just remember Terry Francona, for all those years, he was one of the guys who when he came out of the dugout, you saw a guy that stayed in shape, right? He was a good Major League Baseball player for a long time. Still looks like he played. There are some guys who were pretty good players that you would never know it by how they look in the dugout. But I just noticed, and Darren, I don't know if you did, he just looked very stressed, and he's gained weight. He doesn't look fit, and so he's stepping away for health reasons. There was also a story that came out, I want to say last year during the pandemic. Remember his dad came out? It came out while all of the Mickey Callaway stuff was coming out.
Yep.
That Mickey Callaway, who has been canned and he has been exposed as a guy that treated women very poorly, a lot in the media, and they're trying to weed people out like that.
Wasn't it Tito's son who came out publicly ripped his dad?
It was Terry Francona's son, because part of the allegation that brought it up was that Terry Francona was aware of Mickey Callaway's behavior.
Correct.
Did not do anything about it, and the Indians never really stopped Callaway from moving on eventually to the Mets, and then the Mets fired him. Because the team, I mean, they actually had a decent year under him, but they fired him. He went on to the Angels. So he got rehired twice without anybody finding out that he was treating women this way behind the scenes. And so in all that coming up, Terry Francona's son came out and said, basically, my dad's not a good guy.
Dad knew. Yeah, dad knew.
And our relationship isn't very good.
Yeah.
I just wonder if that, it seemed to coincide with Terry Francona. Every time I see him on TV now, I'm like, man. He doesn't look good. He looks stressed and haggard and overweight. So he's stepping away.
Okay.
Real quick, can I read? I got a text.
Hurry.
I got a text. I'm putting Aaron Rodgers on the list for not ending the press conference the other day with double birds. That comes from Robbie Stanley.
You just made the list.
What? Why would he end with double birds?
It would. I mean, if you watch that whole press conference, it would have made sense.
I understand.
The double gun salute from Aaron Rodgers.
But he put him back in the holster when he's walking away.
Maybe he'll do that when he leaves. That'll be his I'm out Green Bay, and he just turns to the GM and goes, "Hey, what's up?"
Tell everybody about BetMGM. Maybe they've got odds on that.
They could, because they have odds on just about everything. You score a major payday with my friends at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks, because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. All you have to do is register using the code 1025GAME100, and you can win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Braves or the Brewers. And if either team hits a home run, you win. Whether you're raising the stakes on summer baseball or wagering on your favorite soccer team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet on the Braves or the Brewers and either team hits a home run. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Great three-man Canadian band. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you, and Elliot Freeman joins us normally on Thursdays. Needed to push to today, and we're happy to oblige. Sportsnet, a regular on NHL Network, and now I guess a regular on ESPN. Elliot, great coverage, great work covering the draft last Friday and Saturday.
I think that's a one-time only thing, though. I don't think I'm going to be a regular contributor there.
You don't think so? After that fine work you put in?
I don't think so.
No, he's too expensive.
Yeah, you know what? I've just decided to retire undefeated. Yeah,
all right, let's start with some things we've been bringing up on the show this week.
Sure.
We've discussed with you so many times in the past about the flat cap, and you've told us, hey, it's not going to be flat for just now. It's going to be flat for a while. And so we anticipated maybe less years and maybe some guys, I don't want to say on the cheap, but coming in a little bit of a discount. That does not seem to be the case this week. Are you surprised?
A little bit. I mean, like, I thought the power forwards, with the exception of Landeskog, they got a bit less than they normally would have. You know, pre-pandemic, I wouldn't have imagined, you know, a guy like Brandon Saad coming in at 5x4.5. Or even a guy like Jaden Schwartz, he might have gotten more than 5x5.5. I think some of those guys got a bit less than I thought. The top end D did really well. Yes. The number one goalie, Grubauer, did really well. But a lot of other goalies got short-term deals. You know, Allmark did pretty well, but some of the other guys like Holtby and Freddie Anderson and Antti Raanta, they got short-term stuff. But what it said to me is if you're a top end in this league right now, you're getting paid. Seth Jones, Dougie Hamilton,
Werenski.
Last night, Zach Werenski, and I think Darnell Nurse in Edmonton is coming. I think that one is potentially not far away from being done at a very big number. I think we're in a situation here where, if you're a D, you get paid. I think there's a couple of things here. Number one, the expansion team did it, and that created some new opportunity for money. And, I think the other thing, guys, is that, some teams are wondering, we've got to get fans back into our buildings. I think there's a little bit of concern, like, have people learned to live a little bit without sports? So there's that. And the other thing, too, is I look at what Buffalo and Arizona are doing. There hasn't really been a lot of long-term commitment to just stripping it down and tanking like we've seen in baseball or basketball. To me, what Buffalo and Arizona are doing is, there's two really good prospects on the horizon, a kid by the name of Shane Wright, who plays in Ontario next year, and a kid by the name of Connor Bedard, who's in Western Canada the year after. And there's going to be other prospects too, but these guys look like they're going to be franchise players. And I just think that Buffalo and Arizona have sent a message, we're going after one, if not both of them. And I wonder if we'll start to see more teams in the NHL do what we've seen in baseball and basketball.
Who did you like? Who did you like what they did sitting here on this Friday?
That's a good question. I got to tell you, there's a lot of people who don't like what Arizona did because they think it's bad for the sport. But, for what they were trying to do, they sure did it. look at all the picks they have now.
They did it.
I got to tell you, Buffalo did better in their trades than I think a lot of people expected. I think it's emboldened them a little bit to hold on to Eichel as long as they can till they get what they want. I'm really curious. I liked Colorado keeping Landeskog. I think he's a very important part of their team. And I know a lot of people looked at Makar and they said, you paid that, only getting 1 year of unrestricted free agency. He has a chance to be the best defenseman in the National Hockey League for years. I think he just had no choice but to get that done. I'll tell you this, I also liked what Dallas did. I think they worked around a lot of the edges. I'm beginning to wonder if they're thinking that Ben Bishop might not play next year. I'm really curious about a lot of this stuff. I liked what Dallas did.
The Predators addressed Pekka Rinne retiring by bringing in David Rettich. What do you think of him as the backup goaltender to Saros?
Well, first of all, I would say that, as a media person, you'll love Rettich. He's a very funny guy. He's hilarious. He's got a great sense of humor. He doesn't take himself very seriously. He's also a really good human being. He's got a brother on the spectrum, and he treats him like gold. He's very proud of him, and he talked a lot in Calgary about how much it meant to him to make sure that his brother was treated properly. And so I've got a lot of time for David Rittich as a person. As a goaltender, I think the last couple of years have been hard on him a bit. Calgary as a team, it didn't trend in the right direction the last 2 years, made a couple of coaching changes. I think they're trying to shore up the way they're playing. And, Rittich struggled. I don't think he was at his best, but I think there is a better goaltender there than we saw the last 2 years. I think he's a perfect guy. A lot of the stuff about Rene when he retired was about his personality, right, and what a great person he is and how he accepted the fact that Saros was starting to take the job and he didn't cause a problem. I think Rittich is similar in that way. I don't think he'll rock the boat. I think he'll understand that he's the backup to Saros and he won't cause you any problems. I just think that he's got to rediscover his form. I think there's a really good goalie there who lost his way the last year. And I do think that now that things are kind of coming back to normal, I think he'll find his form a little bit better.
I'm talking to Elliot Friedman. Elliot, just give us your thoughts, because we always kick this around, and I think we set the table with you on this for the last, really, you could go back to the trade deadline, but Mikhail Granlund ends up coming back 4 years, $5 million a year. I think in a perfect world, they would have liked something a little smaller, but as you kind of pointed out, that people went ahead and spent some money there, so they paid a little bit more to keep him. What are your thoughts on that term and that price?
Well, I like Granlund a lot as a player. I think he's an important player for you guys. I think the thing that Nashville and David Poile have decided that is that they weren't going crazy on term this time around. I heard some of the negotiations that they were involved with, some of the players that they were looking at, they got beaten out because they didn't offer the same term. And I think that's the message that the Predators were sending. You've got a couple of deals there with term that, haven't worked out to this point with Johansson and with Duchesne. And I think you guys have learned your lesson and said we're going to be a lot more careful with that, particularly when it comes to guys we don't know. I mean, you know Grant. He's been a Predator for a while now. I think you guys were a lot more comfortable making that gamble with someone that you know as opposed to maybe someone you were bringing in. So I'm not surprised they went with that. I think you guys are going to be really fascinating to watch next year. It's obvious that David Poile wanted to set off a bit of a grenade in the organization. He felt it had gotten too complacent. It was time to try something new. I think what that says to me is they still feel that Michael Granlund can be part of the solution.
Elliot Friedman with us from Sportsnet. Elliot, my math, if I'm looking at the restricted free agents they still have to sign and the cap space they have, and I look at the depth chart, I still see a spot for another move of a significant, maybe middle six forward, maybe not a top three guy, but
yep,
somewhere in there. What do you think is out there? I'm looking at guys like Tomas Tatar, maybe some guys have been rumored in trades. What do you think might be out there if you're looking for that guy?
Well, I got a text about Jake DeBrusk from you guys yesterday, so I figured I should actually do some preparation for this.
We appreciate that you took time for our
show.
We
had a listener, Elliot, that asked about him, if he would, fit. And looking at the contract, I mean, it's not bad.
He's a young player, and it's kind of like, well, why would the Bruins not want him? But that's always part of the discussion here. So fill us in.
Well, you know what? I would look into it. So here's my question: is do you guys have a spot on the left wing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think
so,
without a doubt.
Jake DeBrusk last year. He's a left-hand shot, and he is a talented guy. I think at times him and the head coach Bruce Cassidy have butted heads there a bit, and sometimes it's hard to know. Is the coach trying to motivate the player, or does the coach just no longer believe in the player? And I think the Bruins would look at it as, no, we're trying to motivate the player. I think the coach would look at it and say, we're trying to motivate the player. And I think the player kind of believes that maybe the organization doesn't believe in him anymore. It's like, you know, when a couple breaks up, right? Like there's one side, there's the other side, and then there's the truth in the middle. So I think there's a bit of that going on between him there. So last year, DeBrusk, a left-hand shot, the Bruins were a bit heavy on that side, so he had to play his off wing. I don't think he liked it very much. Now, you know, the Bruins just got news today that David Krejci isn't coming back, and we're going to figure out what they're going to do with their forward situation here. But I think what DeBrusk wants is he wants an opportunity to play on his left wing. I think he is available, but I think, you know, the Bruins still think that he's a young guy who's got ability. They've been frustrated with each other before, but they're not just giving him away. It would be pricey, but if you've got a spot on the left wing, I think that's the kind of opportunity that DeBrusk would like.
Okay, so let's weigh that as opposed to maybe what's out there on Tampa. Is like Alex Killorn still? Are they still looking to dump money?
I don't think they want to move Killorn. I really don't think they do. They might, again, like, and also don't forget he's injured, right? So I don't know what his situation is for the start of next season.
And what about Tomas Tatar, who's sitting out there still waiting, I guess, to see that next wave?
Well, I heard it's interesting. Like, I thought Tatar would be someone that a team could get, like, a decent, relatively inexpensive gamble with. But I heard he was asking for some term. So, you know, I think Tatar's a guy, he'll get you there. He'll get you into the playoffs. There's no question about that. But it's twice in a row now that, you know, teams that have had him have kind of scratched him in the playoffs, right? So he's getting kind of a label, whether fairly or not, as more of a regular season player. Now, that's not a terrible thing because it's still hard to make the playoffs in this league, but I just heard he's looking for some term. And I don't know if it's 4 years. I don't think that would be something like that, but maybe three. And you never know what happens here, guys. Maybe someone starts sweating as, you know, the days go by that you're not signed. Like last year, Mike Hoffman, he took a one-year deal because he couldn't find anything.
Well, Granlund and Hala, same thing with the Predators.
Montreal. Yeah, Granlund and Hala, that's right. So I think Tatar is looking for term, and we'll see if he sticks to that or he changes.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. You said earlier that, you know, the Predators could be very interesting to watch. I mean, with all the cap space that they have, we had David Poile earlier this week, and I asked him, you know, are you able to spend up to the cap if you want to? You know, can you use it all? And he said, yes, he has that ability. But, you know, right now, and I understand they still got to sign Saros. They got some RFAs that they're working through. And then you got to address Forsberg and Ekholm in the future. But what is your sense of what the plan is for them right now? Of they've gotten younger, but they're still kind of on that cusp of being a bubble playoff team.
Well, I look at it this way when it comes to them, guys. That I think Poile has said, like I said earlier, we took some long-term gambles, and they're not looking great right now. So I don't think he wanted to go down that road again. Like, the fact that you guys went 4 years with Granlund fits to me because he's a guy you know. And, you know, you didn't do it, like, I'm sure, like, I'm sure that you guys kick tires on guys like Schwartz and Saad and things like that. And, you know, like, it's like, I don't know that you guys were going 5 years for Saad. I don't know that you guys were going 5 years for Schwartz. I tend to think no, but I don't know that for sure. So I think what you're doing right now is you're sitting there and you're saying, let's see what happens. There are going to be some teams that are stuck. You know, there's going to be some teams that are still going to need to facilitate moves to get underneath the cap. And, you know, one of those teams, like, one of my questions is, where does Eichel end up? Hmm. And is somebody going to need, like, for example, let's just say Eichel ends up in Vegas, for argument's sake. They're going to need to clear room. Like, you know, could you guys benefit from a team that trades for Eichel and needs to move something out? Like, that's one of the things. Or, you know, teams that are over the cap in the summer,
when the regular season starts, they have to be under the cap. Are you guys going to benefit from that?
The one thing, I mean, David Poyle's been around for so long. Like, everything that happens, he's seen it 50 times, right? So he knows how to play it, and he'll wait. And in this league right now, cap space is a weapon. And he'll weaponize it when he finds the right opportunity.
Another thing that he hasn't been a stranger to do is, you know, we just referenced it with Holla, and he's done it in the past, Mike Ribeiro, getting these guys that have been bought out or, you know, are kind of reclamation projects, one-year cheap deals.
Scott Hartnell would be another
Scott
example.
Hartnell is another one of those. But mm-hmm. James Neal is out there. That's another guy that they know. And granted, he's not the same James Neal that he was when he left and was a part of that team that went to the Cup Final. But do you see that as a possibility down the road? And what do you think the market is right now for Neal?
I'm sure he's getting a lot of calls. Like, do you want to come here for a year or something like that? Do you want to come here and play at a lower number? I'm sure that's happening. And he'll have, if you look at Corey Perry, who just signed in Tampa, when you're willing to do that, you can go just about anywhere. So I bet you James Neal, after what he just went through, James Neal never wanted to leave. But he got more money in Calgary, and he took the money. And, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't begrudge people doing that, but it sometimes means you get caught up in what happened to him. And so I guarantee to you that he's going to be looking at this and saying, you know, he's going to make $1.9 million on his buyout the next 4 years. So, you know, he's going to look at this and say, I'm going where I want to go, where I'm going to play in a role I like and where I want to be. And I'm sure he's got a few people calling him right now.
Elliot, last one. With Grubauer's deal, do you think that affects Saros at all?
I do. I mean, I think that he's probably a little bit higher. I think that Grubauer is probably a little bit higher than Saros in terms of history. He's got a bit more of a resume to him, but... You know, I any goaltender is going to look at that and say, well, it's, you just look at all the free agent goalies the last couple of years. Yes, you can, buddy. I'm sorry, my son won't go in the house. You look at all the free agent goalies the last couple of years. Like, there's a lot of 6x6s and a lot of 7x5s and that kind of thing. A lot of those guys have had bigger resumes than he had. So I would say that Saros is not quite there, but he's near it. And the other thing too, guys, and I read a book a few years ago called The Bald Truth. It's by an agent named David Falk, and he was the guy who represented Michael Jordan and a number of other basketball players at the primes of their careers. And it was just a great read because, you know, a lot of us look at negotiations as comparables, right? Like, here's Philip Grubauer. Where does UC Saros compare to Grubauer? Well, he doesn't have the same resume, so his number's got to be lower, right? And he talks about in that book about how that's only a terrible agent would do it that way. A good agent looks at it and says, well, that was his situation. This is your situation. And maybe UC Saros doesn't have the resume of a Philip Grubauer, but you know what? He might be the MVP of your team. So you have to deal with it from a separate way. And that's what I bet you they're going to say is they're going to say, look, maybe doesn't have Saros, maybe doesn't have Grubauer's resume or Markstrom's resume or Binnington's resume, but you know what? I look at your team, he's pretty freaking important. So that's the way we're going to look at it. I think you have to look at it as being in the ballpark. If Saros' agent is any good at all, then that's the way he'll argue it.
Good stuff, as always. We're going to let you get to the fam. Thanks for your time, as always, Elliot. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. This is going to be it for me this year. I'm taking August off, so I really enjoy it, guys. I love coming on your station. And, it's so funny. I was talking about this with one of my buddies who doesn't work in the business. You know, he was saying to me, how many radio hits a week do you do now? And we were listing them. And I told him I do one in Nashville normally on Thursdays, and he laughs and he goes, can you imagine when we were kids, we would have thought that you would be doing a weekly NHL radio hit in Nashville. We were kind of laughing about it. So I love coming on here. I love how big a part you guys have become in the league, and I hope you guys have a great rest of the summer.
Well, thank you very much, and we love it too. Appreciate it, Elliot, as always.
All right, guys, take care.
Thanks.
That is Elliot Friedman. Enjoy your month of August. Sounds like they were loading up the car to go somewhere.
It did sound like they were ready to get on the move. And if you listen to his podcast, they've been talking about this. And really, it seems like every hockey insider is the same way. They want to put in those last couple days as everything kind of happens, the first couple days of free agency, and then they've got that calendar marked, man. It is, I am clocking out, and I am recharging the batteries.
Sure.
The summer's kind of short in Canada, right? So you want to take advantage of those days. So they're all the same, and Elliot is no exception. Jeff Merrick, his partner on the podcast, who we've had on the show many times, he says, we will be a rumor starting August the 1st.
And then when they come back, it becomes the 32 thoughts.
Yep. And we appreciate his accessibility. Yeah. We are really fortunate to be able to talk to I think the best in the business every week.
I was looking at Circa Sports, so a sports book in Vegas.
And a sports book? Oh, come on, Darren. It's a doozy. It's a good one. It's a real good one.
It's a doozy. I know.
I'm going to be there in a month.
I'm bringing it up. They have put out their odds to win the Stanley Cup next year. There's three tiers. Okay, they've got three groups. So teams in groups. So let's start with tier one. Who is the favorite at +525 to win the cup?
So we've had some tier talk today, haven't we? Quarterbacks and running backs. And okay.
Big 12 is shedding tears, so there you go.
Nice, Chase.
Tears. Nice.
Colorado Avalanche, I'm going to say, is in tier one.
Well, I'm asking who is in not only just in tier one, but who is
number one in tier one?
Okay, yep. Is that your guess?
Yeah, I'll stay with them.
Okay, Chase?
Vegas.
So the Avs are one, Vegas is two. Okay. Isn't that interesting? The back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, not mentioned in that conversation. Colorado
They're
one.
Probably three.
Vegas two, Tampa three. Who is four?
This would still be in the first tier?
This I will tell you when tier one is complete.
Yeah, now it gets interesting.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm asking.
Still tier one. Who else?
I have to be honest. I am perplexed. This is why I'm bringing
Toronto?
Up some of this stuff. Toronto is five, so they're behind number four that you're still looking for.
Carolina?
We were just talking about them, by the way.
Boston?
Boston.
No Boston.
How about that?
Really?
Boston.
Huh. Would not have guessed. No. I would have thought all those teams we just mentioned would be the top of tier two. Carolina, Boston, maybe Florida.
Yeah.
There's 11 teams
Toronto,
in tier one.
Can you put Toronto in tier one until they really do it?
Exactly.
But you just said there's 11 teams in tier one?
11 teams in the Hurricanes
The teams at the top are in a different tier than these other
teams. But let me just tell you, the teams in front of the Hurricanes, help me understand this. The Edmonton Oilers?
Put them in a tier of show me you can do it.
Right. Well, what have they done? The answer is nothing.
Okay, let me take a guess at one.
Okay. There's one. I do not understand. Help me understand.
Florida Panthers?
No. They're
not in tier one.
They're not in tier one. They're Minnesota. Not as good as they were last year.
Minnesota are not in tier one.
Okay.
Okay.
Chicago?
No.
After everything?
Come on. What do you mean? No. Come on. Is that crazy? They're not in tier one.
Tier one would be crazy for them.
Well, you said there's 11 teams in tier one. I mean, I'm trying to.
The Islanders in tier one?
Yeah.
They are not.
Really?
Man, I mean, how many times do they have to win playoff series?
Okay, I agree. The Islanders begin tier two.
Wow.
So is Chicago and Minnesota, they're in tier two?
They're in tier two.
How many teams are in tier two? Just so we can get a reference point here.
11.
There's
11 teams in tier two. The St. Louis Blues are in front of Edmonton. What?
In tier one.
Dumb.
In tier one. They're the ninth team on that list. What?
I'm not certain about that.
What am I missing?
I guess they're looking at a bounce back.
St. Louis Blues, tier one? How about no? That's a losing ticket. Bet on them.
Is Pittsburgh tier one?
Yes.
That see that that's a loser too.
I agree.
What year was this put out?
But I can I would buy into Pittsburgh in tier one before I bought into
absolutely. 100%. The Philadelphia Flyers in tier one.
No.
Well, I can see them being sort of a sexy.
No, wait a minute. They've been very active this
season. They've been very active.
They revamped their defense completely.
People but they weren't very good last year.
Right, but they have, if you look at their roster, it looks that a whole lot better on paper.
It does.
On paper.
If there's a bounce back from Carter Hart, a little shake up,
if
they could be good.
Plays.
So we've named every team but one, and they are in the Predators division.
Well, we've already named.
Exactly. That's
so
the problem.
They're going to put Winnipeg in there?
Oh.
No, they're not.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I see Winnipeg as a clear. I see a lot of tier twos.
Winnipeg's
in the
tier
central.
Two.
I see a lot of tier twos in the central. I would put the Predators in tier two. I don't know if you're going to tell me they're in there or not, but let's get the other tier one first.
The Dallas Stars.
They're still putting them in tier one. I think they're a clear-cut tier
two. How about that? So the Predators division has, according to Circa Sports and their odds to win the Stanley Cup next year, Avalanche, Stars, and Blues all in tier one.
I think there's a pretty big gap between Colorado and those other two teams.
I agree. And by the way, St. Louis has no business.
No. I'd put the Wild over St. Louis.
I would put Winnipeg and Minnesota over. I just would. I don't agree with that at all. So that's tier one. Tier two, I already told you, the Islanders begin tier two. I think you guys mentioned the Wild. They're in there. The Jets are in there as well. Did I say anything about the Blackhawks? Or?
Yeah, you said they were in tier two.
They're in tier two as well.
They're in tier two?
Yes. Okay. At the bottom. They're second to last.
So you're telling me the Predators are not in tier two?
Well, I haven't named all the teams.
He hadn't gotten that far.
We haven't
guessed them. Are the Predators in tier two? Willie wants to know.
I mean, honestly, I hope that it'd be good motivation if they're not.
They are not. They're in tier three. Okay. They are the second team in tier three behind the Knuckleheads.
So Vancouver and
Nashville begin tier three.
So
let me ask you a question.
So they're buying that Chicago has leapfrogged Nashville. Yes. Nashville beat Chicago 7 out of 8. They're saying that these moves that Chicago made leapfrog them into a totally different tier than the Predators?
Their odds are cut in half compared to the Predators are plus 11,000. Chicago is plus 5,200.
I dropped $5 on that.
Okay.
How many teams left in tier two that we haven't named?
I don't know. There's 11 teams in tier two, so I don't know. You've named about half of them.
Would the Seattle Kraken be one of those tier two teams?
The Seattle Kraken are in tier two.
Okay. Thought so.
All right.
So I'll just give it to you. The Islanders, I mentioned. Then the Florida Panthers. Then the New York Rangers. How about that?
They'll be a sexy
Rangers
pick.
Rangers are interesting.
Washington Capitals. Minnesota Wild. Flames.
Come on.
Huh?
Huh? I love that.
Why? This one's another one. I don't know. I think they're going the wrong direction. Canadians. The Habs after the Flames. I don't know, man.
Why?
I don't know. Jets, Kraken, Blackhawks, and Los Angeles Kings.
The Kings?
Yep. Why? Yep.
Who is that?
That rounds out tier two.
Okay. All right.
Tier three begins with the Knuckleheads and the Preds, followed by the Devils, the Sharks, the Red Wings, the Blue Jackets. How about that? Senators, Ducks, Yotes, and, of course, bringing up the rear
by a
long shot.
The
plus 150,000, the Buffalo Sabres.
I'm going to tell you one team low on that tier three to watch out for is Ottawa. They've reloaded. If you're going to put the Kings in tier two,
they're plus 30,000.
I don't really understand why you would have Ottawa that far below the Kings. The Ottawa has done the same kind of things as the Kings to reload.
Real quick, the Predators.
By the way, their odds compared to Los Angeles are Los Angeles is plus 5,500. Senators are plus 30,000.
Preds just announced they have re-signed Tanner Jeannot to a two-year $1.6 million contract.
Very
so
economical.
800 per?
Yes. The breakdown.
750 and then 850.
Yep.
Okay.
So very similar to Mr. Olivier.
Yep. Yep.
So I thought you guys would enjoy that. I think there's some major question marks in there. That's good stuff.
I do think there will be a lot of doubters from the outside on the Predators as we sit here today. Now, I still think, as we talked about with Elliot, there's another move to be made. But I don't know if it'll change what you just read, Darren, a whole lot. I think that's going to be a prove it.
I look forward to sitting in the Circa again, drinking my 32-ounce drink. So that'll be good.
Come back. Final hour next.